From Nakamixon Media and Siren Records, this is Chloe in the Rex, where we explore all the music you don't know about, but should.
Okay, guys. Hello. I'm really tired, so I don't feel like talking. So remember last week when I was like waiting for an email from someone that I emailed about music stuff? So I did get a response like the next day, but you know, wasn't in time for my podcast. Where is it? There's this album. I'm just jumping right in. I have nothing cool to say. Scott Wilk. It's Scott Wilk and the Walls, and that is also the name of the record. So this came out in 1980, and I said in my email, like, hey, I do a podcast, just wondering if there's anything, like, cool you can tell me about your record. You know, he didn't answer any of my actual questions, but he did respond to my email. So, I'm just going to read what he wrote. He says, "Hi Chloe, I'm glad you like the record. Everybody's got a horror story in the record business. Here's mine. The Walls album and the single Suspicion were released the week Warner Brothers fired all of its independent promotion men. It was the first big payola scandal, and the biz was a mess. Without any plan B to get the word out, the record kind of got lost. The label told me they thought it would be a top 15 record, but it was not to be. Adding insult to injury, Pat Benatar had wanted Suspicion for what turned out to be her platinum debut album, but we said no. I went on to make other records, some with trio Bone Symphony, including One Foot in Front of the Other, which was originally in Revenge of the Nerds, and more recently in Ted 2. All the best, Scott." So, there you go. I'm going to play you this song, Suspicion, that was supposed to be their hit single and Pat Benatar wanted it. And that's basically it. So, it's very, very Elvis Costello-esque, if you ask me. So, here is Suspicion by Scott Wilk and the Walls.
Shadows where no light shines.
All right, so that's Scott Wolk and the Walls. And unfortunately, I forgot because I listened to this last, like, 2 weeks ago, whatever. I picked that song because he mentioned it in the email, but that is not my favorite song on the record. So it's actually, the whole record is really good. So if you didn't like that song, you might still like it, if that makes sense. So thank you, Scott. And hopefully, yeah, that one sticks out for some people. Okay. Normally I do chronological order, but because that one, I just wanted to do that because I mentioned it. I'm just going in the order that I wrote things down, which is not chronological, but whatever. So this is weird because I read that this came out in 1981, but then Discogs says 1984, but also apparently they broke up before 1984. So, yeah. I'm going to say it's probably 81. I don't really know. I don't understand. It doesn't really matter. So the band is The Raves, and the album is called Color of Tears. So these guys are from Atlanta, and they formed in 1971, originally called Nod. It's three brothers, Chuck, John, and Jim Yoakam, and then a guy named Ken Kennedy. And they changed their name to The Raves in 1980. And really, the best thing about this band that I was able to find out is that they had their own local public access TV show called Eh, What's This? Where they performed original comedy sketches and music videos, and that was on from 1980 to 1982. Also, this copy happens to be signed by an executive producer, not anyone in the band, but Jerry the K. Costin. So that's cool if you're interested. So, The Raves, and I picked a song called I Bet You're Lonely, but I really liked this whole thing, so it was one of those things where any song would have been good, but I decided to play this one.
Waiting so long, I bet you're lonely too.
Okay, so that's The Raves, and from the album Color of Tears. Okay, so my next one is a band called The Motors, and I've been aware of this band for a long time because just they were like one of those bands that showed up on like punk compilations that I used to buy, and this is... What is this, like their second album? Okay, so there's actually on the back of this... Okay, so the album is called Approved by The Motors. So there you go. There's a write-up on the back by Dave Schultz from Trouser Press, and it was really good because it gives you an idea of where they came from, basically what I like to do for this. So I'm just going to read what's on the back of the record. It's kind of long, but whatever. A few tears were shed back in the fall of 1975 when a widely ignored and underrated London pub rock band called Ducks Deluxe decided to call it a day. Yet within 2 years, they would be recognized as having played a major role in the revitalization of the British music scene as we enter the late 70s. Two of the prime movers of this legendary outfit were Nick Garvey, who had once been road manager for the Flamin' Groovies before deciding to make his own music, and Andy McMaster, a Scotsman whose musical background went back into the mid-60s when he'd played keyboards in the Stoics with Frankie Miller. Although they initially went their separate ways following the breakup of Ducks Deluxe, Garvey into a short-lived band called the Snakes, McMaster to a job penning pop tunes for a music publisher, by early 1977 they were back writing songs together. They were impressed enough with their own output that they decided to form a band to play those songs. Auditions turned up two newcomers. Rick Slaughter, also from the Snakes, joined first on drums, followed shortly by Bram Tchaikovsky on guitar. Thus, The Motors was born, an explosive mixture of experience and youth. Meanwhile, Garvey, who had played bass with Ducks Deluxe, switched to guitar, and McMaster, who had always played keyboards, moved to bass. All four members contribute vocals, but Nick and Andy generally share in dual lead singing, which contributes greatly to the uniqueness of The Motors' sound. Their first album, simply titled The Motors, was released in 1977, and shortly after, The Motors undertook their first American tour, sharing bills with such heavyweights as Kansas, Rush, Blue Oyster Cult, UFO, and AC/DC. Now we have Approved by The Motors, and if the first album defined the heavy but melodic approach of The Motors, this one refines that sound, adding new textures and dimensions without losing the raw energy of its predecessor. Anyway, like I said, it's a really good description, where they came from, what they sound like, etc. Yeah, so I like this band, and I was kind of torn between two songs. I really liked the song called You Beat the Hell Out of Me, but I'm going to play a song called Forget About You, because it's super catchy. We'll be right back. So that is the Motors. I feel like I'm running short. I mean, yeah, running short. Shit, what song did I want to do? I might play two off of this. If I am running a little short, it'll use up some time. I was so torn with this band. I fucking love this record so much. I don't really have much information on them. So the band is called Artful Dodger, and the album is Rave On. It came out in 1980. They formed in Fairfax, Virginia in 1973. And they put out four albums, and this is the fourth and final album, Rave On. Basically, there's so many bands like this where, like, they were really good, but their albums didn't sell, and then they just never really went anywhere, and it sucks. But I also, from what I could find out, this is pretty much, like, their best album. Like, they're all good, but the last one somehow was the best, which to me is weird. Like, normally a band's last album, by that point, I'm like, you guys were done, like, two albums ago. Like, just give up. But this one is really good. And there's two songs that I really like. So, what the hell? I'm just gonna play both. They're kind of long. Like, they're weirdly long for power pop. They're, like, 4 minutes. Almost 4 minutes. Before I was trying to decide between the two, and I was like, I looked at how long they are. They're both exactly the same, like 3:42. Like, what the fuck? I couldn't pick one based on whether it was, like, shorter than the other. So, yeah, I'll play Come Close to Me. It's a little poppier, and then I'll play another one after that. So, all right, this is Artful Dodger. see what I mean? Like, the song is amazing. And I'm going to play you another one now by the same band, same album, and it's called A Girl La La La. And this one totally makes me think of a Rod Stewart song. I mean, his voice kind of sounds like Rod Stewart-y, but also just it sounds like something that, like, the Faces would have performed. I don't know. So that's it for me. I think I might be able to drop these off this weekend. So everything from the last two podcasts is now at the store for sale. These should be there sometime this weekend. And just a quick little shout out. I was really sad when I found out that Coco the gorilla died, so I just want to say something about that. She was, like, the best. I remember learning about her when I was really little, and I thought she was, like, the coolest thing ever. I wanted to meet her someday. She was, like, you know, this awesome gorilla who loved her kitten and could speak sign language. I just thought she was, like, the best thing in the world, and I'm just really sad today. So, poor Coco, but you know, she was smarter than a lot of people I know. All right. So, yeah, that's it for me. Buy these records. And that's all I got. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Chloe and the Racks is a Knock and Mixin Media podcast recorded live on location at Siren Records and produced by Stay Calm Industries. All songs are property of their respective owners. The intro-outro music is courtesy of Bobby Kennedy. If you like what you hear, please like, comment, review, and share. That's the best thing you can do for us.